Yeah, so Pribram, Cosmos here. I mean, he seemed to be able to show that there were waves, larger waves coming through the brain that included like 100,000 neurons. Meaning that the activity of the brain, and we're talking now memory, as far as I know, and perception, eyes, ears, and so on, sense perception, I guess. That this is the activity going on there in the brain that they were studying, and that those signals carrying that information, sensory information, for instance, that coming from the eyes and the optical nerve and zoom going to the back of the head there, the cortex, and then lighting up there, which they can show with their measurement instruments, when an image, visual image, is, you know, hits the eye. So that much is known. But then the way that this image, this information takes, is in the form of larger waves. In other words, the information is not stuck there in the physical connections of cells to each other as a wire going through wires, although that is of course going on too. But you could say it seems that there are many little wires through which a higher structure of information encoding, information is encoded, not as bits in cells, but as waveforms in the field, in the electromagnetic field of the brain. Now, this, and I'm not sure this is for the book, but it's from my own understanding, which, because I got some insight, I don't know, but let's test it. That yes, here we have an electromagnetic field containing an image. Let's say it's a visual image. Someone is looking at an object. And that object emits light, reflects light, and we have this whole thing there in the light field, and giving rise to that image there in the brain, right? Now, if Vibram is right, then that image that then has been built up, you know, from the mixing of the two images on the retinas of the eyes and all those little outputs coming from all those little cells there in the retina, everything sorted out, combined. And you could say decoded, translated into some kind of image there in the brain, which then I think makes sense, could very well be, as Vibram suggests, he uses a word that I forgot. Anyway, like a wholeness of the brain field, which we know is very clearly measurable with the EEG and all that. And has within neurology been studied, given different names to different wavelengths and their characteristics psychologically, how that is connected to us, our mental activity. So again, an image is there. In that brain field, which then, incidentally, and interestingly enough, would be basically of the same nature as that image in the light field is outside of the person. Because there, the information about the object is present holographically at every point of that light field. And in the brain field, that same image is also through the instruments of the eyes and the senses reconstructed, you could say, imaged just as a camera does, but much more advanced because it's three-dimensional. So in any case, the fact that Vibram made this insight, I'd like to call it, and as far as I understand, spent his life working on researching this, raised the interest of David Bohm, and the two of them worked together. Bohm, who was studying the outside holographic information field, and Pre-Brahma was studying the inner holographic information field. And then, of course, with the background of quantum theory, where the quantum founders of it seemed fairly in agreement with each other, that yes, consciousness, mind, is not separate from the physical. It's all one energy manifesting different forms, those we call physical, those we call mental, and so on. And that, of course, this, and this is what I wanted to deal with now. But then you have this form incoming, so to speak, from the senses, that electromagnetic form in the brain of an image. And I thought that could even be spatial image. If you think of a field around the brain, and if I look at a ball and the rest of the room is black, then maybe that field in the brain is containing a ball. That kind of makes sense. I mean, if you could take a photo of that field, you would see a ball, but it, you know, some kind of holographic whatever image that is not accessible from outside, so to speak, because it's going on in here. Why not? And then the mind with which we, that with the mind that we are connected to by the ahankara, we look back to the Bhagavatam, you know, we think we are this body. We don't not only think, but we experience it that way because we are so convinced, we are so accustomed to being this body. And then that connection there, where the mind kind of clicks into that body, that image coming from the bodily senses, and then looks out through the eyes, hears through the ears, and so on. So that's where the mind, whoop, connects to the body. But then, again, when I wake up in the morning, that's what happens. I am in my sleep outside of the physical body, disconnected, just resting from it all, and thereby not hearing through the ears of the body, seeing through the eyes of the body, and so on. But then waking up means now my mind, my consciousness, is directed, connected again to the senses of this body, and again attached to it, dependent on it. For whatever pleasure or pain it may be subjected to during the day. So, yeah. It makes sense to me, at least. And this is the understanding I have, whether you agree or not, with the ideas that started and continued developing in the among those scientists, and this is still going on. Maybe more than ever, I don't know. I hope so. But what this book is about, and which I kind of discovered on the path of writing it, is to try to at least roughly fit all these pieces together into a holistic working cosmology. Which can actually hold up and stand the scientific critical tests and the spiritual as well, and the test of practicality of working with life, our lives, ourselves, and proving to be functional. So this could be somewhere near the end of the book. So I leave this book now to all of you. Thank you for reading it. And well, with a disclaimer that it is one man's life's work, so to speak, part of it. Limited man, and you may find things you agree with, and those you don't, or think right now that, hey, I could explain that better, or I think I've figured out that one that you didn't. And great. Get in touch. Write your own. Make your YouTube channel. And let's help make each other wiser. Because I think that this knowledge we are talking about here, this time specifically a bit in a cosmological, scientific context, can also be spoken about and dealt with well, as I think it is Pribram who says that. I'm reading this, the Pribram Bohm Holoflux Theory of Consciousness by an integral interpretation of the theories are called Pribram, David Bohm, and Pierre Teilhard-Chardin. It says that Pribram was talking a bit like that. We tend to call it interdisciplinary. Or what was it called in the academic circle when you're studying knowledge that is not kind of isolated in a certain discipline or institution, but and he said, but I don't know, want to call it that. I mean, we need a knowledge that, as far as I understand, a knowledge that itself is of that nature, integrated, where all the different parts of our lives and our world and, you know, all of it, social sciences, economics, and the natural sciences, and all of them are not separated, fragmented anymore, but are just different aspects of knowledge. And we find that much more in the past and still today in, for instance, India and China, I think also, like the, in India they have Veda, which is similar to the Swedish word veta, to know, knowledge. Not a whole bunch of different departments of knowledge that are, well, you could even say incompatible with each other, or at least, how do you say, vattentäta skott, isolated from each other. So yeah, and this is also here what we're talking about. So these things I'm talking about here can be viewed from another person's angle. And I am myself really interested in hearing others, you know, men and women and different nationalities and different kinds of people. Just past the Royal Agricultural Academy building of Stockholm yesterday, and thinking about the young, intelligent farmer's daughter or son who thinks, I want to go to this place, be a student here and learn higher knowledge of farming. So you can see it from that side, as from the farmer's eyes, and then you can have the physicist over there, and you can have the psychologist over there, and the social sciences person, and so on. And the religious people, all looking at the same reality, but from different points of view, and different nationalities, looking at the same God, the same reality, but from different points of view. Different cultural traditions and contexts, that it's good that they're different, depending on climate and historical events. That's this world. That's what it is. You could say a stream, a flow, we said a flow of energy, that this is what this cosmos is. But we could also say it like this, because again, what these quantum physicists came down with was that consciousness is fundamental. What does that mean? It means that we are fundamental. Because we are that consciousness. Not just me, but all of us, you and you and you and us, all of us who are conscious and live. So it means that this cosmology we're talking about here, if you would make an image of the cosmos according to it, it looks something like this. And then, how is that picture going to look? You know, a time worm, you know, space-time, you know, Einstein, all that. So we can actually show a landscape. Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be a worm. That's actually a cool painting. Think of a landscape, a little Renaissance style, that classical style, beautiful trees, and you can really get into that classical style. And a beautiful landscape, you can just stand there, big painting. It should be like almost 2 meters wide, and landscape format, of course. And then you see way towards the horizon, you have a real depth in there, foreground, middle ground, and background, and very, should really just suck you in there, the viewer. But then you see like a road, you could say, some kind of, which goes all the way from back to disappearing to one point almost in the horizon, because, I mean, as I said, this is a real good horizon. So, and this, you can, you know, see a long way. And then, I don't know, I got into this, I should have made another recording, but this is connected, so. And you see people, and you could actually show it like that. It's like a river of people. It doesn't have to be super crowded, but, and you see them as they, if you look way back, they are dressed as people were thousands of years ago, you know, the Romans and this and that. And just try to show it, if it's possible, I don't know. And then up to here today, where we stand. And look, you can have the people there in the front standing, looking into our eyes, the viewers, as if asking, you know, what are we going to do now? Who are we? We can show that a civilization, a culture that is bewildered. That could be a cool painting or picture to make. Anyway, something like that. What was I? Was there anything else? Yeah, but this would be the cosmos. That was the point. Which means then we should paint it in such a way also that it's clear that it's that sea, that river of living beings. And we can have animals there and plants, and we include the plants also in this. You know, I can show trees who are just standing there. They can be actually drawn out like that. They live so long. Tortoises. And it could also be made in such a way that the further away you get, it gets a little bit more transparent, so to speak. Or we can illustrate each one's life like that. Could even really get into it, and in the front they show everyone's life as, you know, a worm or something like that, where you have the little one then growing bigger in the middle. Anyway, but the point is that this is the cosmos. The cosmos is the totality of all life. Not some totality of matter or nothingness or so. So in a way we're saying this is kind of a revolutionary declaration that stand up against the materialism. that removes us living souls, or turns us from the scene, and or turns us against each other, powered by the greed of a few. So a worldview is not just a view, it becomes life, it is life. Because it determines how our lives will be lived and how the world will look like that we live in.